You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. Yes, daily. We're back Monday through Friday because basketball is back, baby. It's Media Day Monday, and we're here to kind of usher in the Media Day fun, talk a little bit about Kyrie Irving and his comments to Jackie McMullen, and Gordon Hayward and his comments to Adam Hilsbach. We're the Raining Jays. I am John Corrales. Sam Jam Packard. Should I start using your full name? Did you?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, Samuel Jamison or Jamison Packard the Third.
I think it's pronounced Jamison. It's an old family
Jamison.
Name.
Yes. Samuel Jamison Packard the Third.
Yes.
I think that's going to be the introduction from now on, just because for formality's sake. We're a big deal, and we want to make sure that we get you
full. It's a new year. I want people to call me by my correct name.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we'll do that moving forward. So, and because it's media day, we're going to ask questions of the players before the players get a chance to answer. Hey, all
ooh,
right.
I got an idea for the name of this segment. We can call it Raining J School because it's like we're in journalism school, prepping our questions before media day. Look at that. That's a good idea.
I like that. Raining Big J's?
Yeah.
Which will be the furthest thing from actual journalism. But let's start with Kyrie and Jackie McMullen, because Jackie is awesome. She gets the exclusive with Kyrie that basically says, why wouldn't I want to be a part of this? And he's at the practice facility. He's pointing to the practice facility, says, why wouldn't I want to be a part of all of this? Talking about all of the players and everything that's going on with the Boston Celtics, and really dispelling the notion that he wants to play with Jimmy Butler, saying that was in 2016. Like, yeah, once upon a time we talked about it, but that was years ago. And to further hammer that point home, Jeff Zilgit of USA Today tweeted out that he's hearing that Jimmy Butler's interest in the Knicks was overstated, and his main goal is to win sooner rather than later. The Knicks sitting here thinking, hey, man, we got Butler, we got Kyrie, they both want to play here. And then both came out like within 24 hours of each other and be like, yeah, I mean, maybe
really.
Once upon a time, but not, it's not like a priority of mine. So for us in Boston, this is great. Kyrie, first of all, saying that he is looking forward to the next few years. That's his quote, next few years, has to be kind of like a relief and excitement at the same time.
Yeah, there's no surprise. I mean, he's in the facility playing 5-on-5 with like this super talented Celtics roster. He's a basketball player. No wonder he's excited. The thing that got me most excited about that article from Jackie McMullen is Kyrie talking about how he feels better, like with his knee, better than he ever has. Like,
that's exciting.
Are there more levels to Kyrie Irving that we don't know about that we're going to experience this year? Like, he talked about how he's better prepared to finish around the rim when he was already one of the best finishers around the rim in the league. So I'm ready for like fully healthy Kyrie. If we didn't even see that last year, and it sounds like his knee was still kind of bothering him with soreness and he didn't have as much confidence taking off and landing with it. So that's what I'm most excited about. Also, I mean, the quote, obviously him saying next year's is something we've all kind of been talking about, but him talking about just being fully healthy is insane, because I didn't know there was more Kyrie to experience.
That was my biggest takeaway as well, that he's talking about how healthy his knee feels and that it's opening up things around the rim. And I had that same reaction, like, wait a minute. So the stuff we saw before the surgery that was him being timid. That was him not being 100%. So for me, this weekend has been about Kyrie and Gordon Hayward kind of revealing that there are new levels of their games that will be unlocked this season. That Kyrie with his left leg finally being as strong as his right leg, and he's feeling 100% confident in that. And as an aside, I just want to say, the one thing I've hated has been all of the bullshit talk about how injury-prone Kyrie is, when all of this has stemmed from that one injury, and it's been with the hardware and all of that stuff. That now that all of that stuff is gone and out of his knee, that he can finally be himself. It's not that he's injury-prone. It's that that one injury has had all of these levels of recovery. And so now we're here, and he can be an even better Kyrie. And not only that, Gordon Hayward, and I want to bring this up because it proves me right, and I got to dance on this, that his shot is better, and the fact that he worked on his shot during the entire rehab makes his shot better, the quicker release, and he's feeling more confident. We're looking at guys who, at their best before all of this, was really great, and now they're going to get even better. To me, that's my takeaway. They're going to get even better than what we thought they were going to be.
Yeah, no, I'm ready like to talk myself. I think I've already talked myself into they're better than the Warriors at this point, which I know I said and immediately had to laugh, but it's like they're going to be really, really good this year. And you have to have like complete championship expectations. Just reading these articles, like they were an Eastern Conference Finals team last year and got zero contribution from Kyrie or Gordon Hayward. So it was kind of, it's insane to just hear like how much excitement they have. And it just totally fuels our excitement as Celtics fans, is because I can't wait for, man, we're going to go crazy for that first preseason game.
I mean, I feel like, are we getting ourselves too hyped up? I feel like I feel like we need to like dial it back a little bit, because I'm sitting here going like, oh my God, these guys are going to be even better than I thought. I think there's a moment here where I'm like, okay, I gotta channel Kaizen. I gotta be not too high, not too low.
Let me channel our inner Jay King just to shit on everything. They're not gonna beat the Golden State Warriors. The best team ever created.
Man, it's so cold because he's not around.
Hey, the Toronto Raptors and Kawhi Leonard are a pretty good team. It's going to be tough to beat past them in the East. Bro, injuries could happen.
Bro, have you heard of Kawhi Leonard? Have you heard of Kawhi Leonard?
What if Markelle Fultz is really good and the Sixers are like a really emerging young team in the
this
East?
This is so wrong. This is so wrong. I like the fact that we're just on a streak of like bad Jay King impressions. I will say,
well, once we discover the bad Jay King impression, we gotta use it.
Yeah. It's true. I will say that he was willing to podcast from a wedding. So I will give him the proper benefit of the doubt. But
is that like a good reflection on Jay King, or that he was willing to disrespect the people whose wedding he was at? There's two sides to every story.
There is two sides, yes. That he's so disrespectful to the wedding that he was willing to just walk away for half an hour to talk about basketball with us.
Right as the bride's walking down the aisle.
Do you accept
the Indiana Pacers are going to be pretty good?
In the background, nah.
Space Jam sucks.
Oh, he is going to hate us for this. Oh, God. All right, so we've got the Jay King kind of bringing us down a little bit. But we have to go through the process. As Brad Stevens says, you got to do the work. We got to do the work. And if they're not willing to do the work, then they're not going to get to that place. They're not going to get to that championship place. So it's exciting that Kyrie is looking, you know, looking like he does. He looks different. He feels different. He's pain-free, and he's ready to go, and he's looking forward to many years in Boston. So, for Celtics fans, it's exciting for now. It's exciting for later. We can expect Kyrie Irving to re-sign with the Boston Celtics. I'm putting it at like 90%, leaving a 10% chance of weirdness. You know, you got to have that little thing there. But Kyrie will be back. Hayward will be back. These guys are going to take steps forward. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Al Horford is Al Horford. This is exciting. Everybody talks about special team. They call this team special over and over and over again. It's hard to find a different word. This team is going to be special, and the best case scenario is they're going to get to the NBA Finals and really be a strong challenger for the Warriors. Like, I think that the way these teams match up with the Celtics' depth, they have a real shot. This, I can go into the season saying they have a real shot against Golden State.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Like, I think that they've played the Warriors good or well for the past couple of years, and this is just the team with the most amount of talent and an insane amount of depth that the Warriors just don't have at this point. I mean, like, Iguodala is a key part of that team, and he's another year older. This is literally the oldest Andre Iguodala has ever been. And so,
that is quality podcasting. That's analysis.
There you go.
You're just never going to find analysis like that anywhere else.
No, but I think it's like a legitimate point. I mean, the Warriors obviously have championship experience and star power, and they're clearly the favorite to win the championship, but, there's questions about Boogie Cousins. They don't have as much depth as they did last year. They're another year older. Who knows if they had like wanted as much. They basically just like cruised through the entire season last year and didn't really turn it on till game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. But with that being said, they still won the championship. They're still a good basketball squad. They're not to take anything away to the Warriors. But I think the Celtics definitely have a chance. And just looking at, I think they're the one, if you had to pick one team to take down, to dethrone the Warriors this year, I think the Celtics are clearly the second best team in the NBA.
Yeah, I think that's a solid place to leave the Celtics right there. Second best team in the NBA is definitely legit, and that's no green goggles. You can say the Celtics are the second best team in the NBA. All right, we're going to move forward with the Celtics Media Day and asking every player a certain question about media day. Before we do that, I want to remind people, we're recording this on Sunday before the Patriots game, so we can go watch the Patriots play. And I want to remind everybody that the Locked On NFL podcast is becoming everybody's favorite daily national NFL podcast. Monday, it's the local experts on the biggest story of the week. Tuesdays, former NFL QB Sage Rosenfels joins Matt Williamson. Wednesday, it's Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus. Thursday, it's the great Mike Sando of ESPN. And Friday, get Matt's picks. Look, Locked On NFL. Look, my NFL fandom has waned a little bit, but just reading all of the stories, all of the people that we've got on this Locked On NFL podcast, that's enough to draw me back in, because that's one hell of a week lined up for the Locked On NFL podcast. So go subscribe to that. Subscribe to Locked On Patriots and do all. It's Locked On NFL fantasy football as well. So go ahead and subscribe to that stuff wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, Media Day, Monday. You're listening to this on Monday before. Hopefully you're listening to this before Media Day. And Media Day is kind of a fun time to corner these guys, I guess, for lack of a better term, and ask them whatever you want to ask them. Now, I come from my own perspective. Sam comes from his own perspective. Let's go through the whole roster, the whole thing. And one question you want to ask these guys. What's the one question you want to ask these guys? Let's start at the top. Let's start at Kyrie Irving. Jam.
One question I want to know is about his mental connection with Herbert F. Riffs. Is this like a Harry Potter Voldemort scenario where you can feel pain, the other person's pain? I just want to know more about the mind Sherpa and the kind of the relationship he has with Herbert F. Riffs. And if I'm going to say a more serious question, I want to know if he knows about Weird Celtics Twitter, because especially with that Jackie McMullen piece and him looking more and more like Jimi Hendrix, I think the posts are going to be out of control. And so I want to know how aware the weirdest member of the Celtics is of Weird Celtics Twitter.
That is a great question, because I think And look, when I asked Semi Ojeleye in Vegas about that, he kind of laughed and talked about his knowledge of that. Kyrie is at another level. And you got to think that Kyrie has some knowledge of that. I think that'd be amazing to have Kyrie be like, oh, yeah, I know. Oh, the Riffs man? Riffs man? Yeah, I know the Riffs man.
Yeah, I think they actually are connected. So I think it would be – and maybe if he doesn't know, it would be the opportunity to have him find out. Maybe he's a curious enough guy to kind of go look at all the sweet Photoshops of him and Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah. See, now, of course, you're coming from your perspective. I come from a different perspective. I want to know who he – if he could cross anybody over in NBA history, because Kyrie can dribble past anybody. If he could put one defender in front of him, one person in all of NBA history to just do his thing, I want to know who he'd want to just cross up and drive past, because I think that'd be fun. Who could he, like, what would be the most fun kind of matchup that Kyrie could get historically?
Is it LeBron? Is it MJ? I mean, I immediately thought of Allen Iverson crossing up MJ and how like huge of a moment that was. So yeah, that was my first thought.
I think LeBron, but I guess the question is, are we past LeBron? Are we going past LeBron? But having LeBron guard him and having Kyrie just do his magic shit, that like that move that he did against Milwaukee last season, where it's
the insane step through, yeah,
like he teleported through somebody. Like if he could do that. I mean, I think it'd be great for him to do it against LeBron. Maybe to do it against, like, I don't know. It's hard to say. That I kind of want to know where his head's at on that. But yeah, Michael Jordan, that'd just be awesome just to kind of see that happen. All right, let's go to Gordon Hayward. What's your question for Gordon Hayward?
That's a good question because I don't know. Me and Gordon Hayward don't really mesh personality wise. Like,
you're opposite people.
We're a complete opposite. He plays a lot of video games. I play no video games other than 2K. He has two daughters. I have zero daughters. I don't know. Maybe you go first on this one. I'll brainstorm.
Okay. Well, I mean, for me, I think for Gordon Hayward, I think my biggest question for him is, because I'm a sneaker guy, I want to know what goes into making a sneaker decision. Like, what's the difference between going with Nike or New Balance or Anta? He's reportedly close. Sherrod Blakely mentioned that he was close to signing a deal. I'm a big sneaker guy. I love sneakers. I love the culture. And I would love to talk to Gordon Hayward about what does it take, because he's been a Nike guy. How do you go from being a Nike guy for your whole career, and if you decide, like, oh, I'm going to switch, like, how do you go so all in on a different brand? Or what goes into the different brand? Like, does it matter? Like, I personally, I'm a Nike guy. I love Nike because when I was playing, Nike just was the best fit for me. And I played in a pair of Reeboks, and I blew out a pair of Reeboks, and I was like, screw this, I'm never going back to these. I barely have ever played in Adidas. I switched to a pair of Nikes in college, and I was just like, that's it, I'm in. Like, these feel great. And I always played in Nike ever since. And then when I was in Greece, my team was sponsored by Nike, so I had an extra connection to Nike. So I've always just been organically like a Nike guy myself. How do you switch from a different company, from that to a different company, if that's your decision? So that if I had an opportunity to kind of pick his brain for something a little bit different, that would be my tack.
Well, I think that's a good question. All I was able to come up with was, why is daddy always happy? Yeah. And then, how is daddy always happy?
The how is a big question. The how is a big question. All right, let's go to Al Horford.
Al Horford is often known as, or talked about as, the father of the team. Does he think that this is why so many of the Celtics had kids in the offseason? Do you think he had any influence and just said, yeah, this fatherhood stuff's pretty good? And so everyone was like, all right, gotta have a kid.
Al Horford boosting Celtics fertility.
Have you seen those eyes?
Is it because of his eyes that people like look him directly in the eye in the locker room and like, God
gotta
damn.
Have a kid.
I gotta have,
gotta
a, kid. Have a kid. I gotta, yeah. I gotta go. I gotta go procreate right now. I can't top that at all. I guess I'd want to know what it's like to be the father of the team, especially when you're young. That dude's young. It's not like he's old. Look, I'm 45. This dude is 32. Like, I'm not even his older brother. I'm too old to be his older brother. Al Horford is much younger than me, but I look at him as being a guy that's almost my age. So for a 32-year-old, God damn, I can't believe that these are the age differences. That hurts my feelings so much. Shit. But I feel like, you know what, at 32, to be looked at that way, when I was 32, I was horribly immature. I am 45 and horribly immature. I can't imagine what it's like to be 32 years old and having people say, well, this is the end of your career. Like, you have to prepare for the end of your career literally within the next few years. Like, in all likelihood, it's not likely that he's going to play. Even if he plays till 40, that's still less than 8 years. So I would like to pick his brain about what that's like to be in that position. Okay, starting five, Jason Tatum.
Oh, this is easy. And I would specifically say this question's for Taco J.
Yeah.
How much cheese?
That's exactly the question I would ask.
How much cheese do you put on your taco recipe?
That is just ridiculous how much cheese he keeps putting on those Instagram pictures. I have no legitimate question for him other than the cheese question. That is
the cheese is the most important question there is.
The most pressing question of Media Day. Like,
there's a chance I will be at Media Day, and if I'm going to ask any questions, that will be the
question. That will be the question. How much cheese are you legit? Do you put the cheese there for effect? Are you eating all of that cheese? What kind of cheese?
It's got to be a bag. No, it's the shredded, like, Mexican cheese bag.
Yeah,
and it's got to be a whole one on one taco.
Right. Like, you go to the dairy aisle and you buy one of those Mexican cheese blend Kraft packets and you put an entire bag of that on each taco, which, I mean, so he's not lactose intolerant. We know that. But how much cheese do you legitimately eat every day? Is it Charlie Kelly level cheese?
That's how would you describe Taco J's game on the court?
That, I think the cheese question is the most. We should have started with the cheese question. I've got no other question.
All right, we got to reserve the right to skip if we can't force questions. That's part of being a Big J journalist is you don't ask it if you don't have it.
No, the biggest question for me with Jason Tatum is the cheese. So Jaylen Brown, is there a big question with Jaylen Brown?
My first thought with Jaylen Brown was, like, you know, the scene in Good Will Hunting where he gets in the fight about Gordon Wood and the Southern markets. I just wanted to ask him some sort of intellectual question about, like, what he thinks about the Southern pre-colonial Southern economies and their mercantilism and see what he did with it. Or, like, ask him what his favorite Proust novel is. But I don't have much for him.
I don't know. I want to know where he comes up with tweets like yesterday's "a patient man eats ripe fruit." Like,
do you think that's a Jaylen Brown original, or do you think that's a?
I feel like he heard that from somewhere and he thought it was inspirational. That,
I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
they wait for the fruit to be ripe. Yeah,
right. Ripe fruit is delicious, and you got to wait till it's perfectly ripe. And doesn't matter. Maybe you're hungry and you want to eat it sooner, but you got to wait. That's deep, and I want to know why he's tweeting shit like that. That's my question for Jaylen Brown. All right, before we get to the bench, I want to point out that the Locked On NBA podcast has never gone away. Even though the Celtics and all of the other team podcasts, we went to 2 or 3 days a week. Locked On NBA continued throughout the regular season, throughout the offseason, I should say, to be a five-day-a-week podcast. Now, I do the Wednesday show, and I will say with pride that throughout the entire offseason, we did not miss a beat. So, Locked On NBA is still your daily national NBA podcast. No other NBA podcast continued the way we continued on Locked On NBA. So, subscribe. Every Monday, you get the local experts on the biggest stories. And then stay with the Locked On NBA all week long for daily 30-minute podcasts on everything going on. Follow for your free Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA. All right, let's do this. Run through the bench. We're going to run through the bench here. Marcus Smart. Do you have a question for Marcus Smart?
Yeah, this is a legitimate basketball question. I want to know what like the main thing he focused on in the offseason. I feel like there's many parts of his game where he could improve, specifically his three-point shooting. But I just want to like know what was his main focus, like part of emphasis, especially in terms of his offensive game, because he's pretty good playmaker, pretty good in the pick and roll, but I think he has a lot of room to improve on that end. So I wanted to know what his focus would be.
I think the question for Marcus is, how would you handle not closing some games after all this time being in the closing lineup? What happens if you're on the bench? And what happens if the Celtics lose a game when you're on the bench and you think you could help? Like I'm sure he's going to give the right answer, but it's a question that I think that needs to be asked. Okay, Terry Rozier.
Terry Rozier, now that you have podcasting experience, how much more respect do you have for me?
Or rather, do you have any respect for me? To which he'll say no.
Did you see the GQ article where he said he didn't really like the Scary Terry nickname either?
I did see that, yes.
And like, so it's like, well, he doesn't like any of the nicknames. Everybody, he just wants to be called Cum or Chum or Hero.
I think he's probably good with a lot of the nicknames that maybe they're not his favorite, but whatever.
Well, with all the Scary Terry money rolling in, I'm sure he's fine with that name.
Yeah.
But I did want to ask him about his podcasting experience because I listened to all the podcasts he was on and some of them were more entertaining than others. So maybe he'll have an appreciation that it's not as easy
as you think.
Yeah.
I would just thank Terry Rozier for following me on Twitter, which he did.
Hey now, there you go.
Which was a lot of, I'm excited about that. So, I really have nothing else for Terry Rozier.
Oh, I have a question.
Or maybe
for Terry.
I have a Puma question.
I have a question for Terry. How many sticks?
Fully embrace Tito, Terry. Get a Tito Puma sneaker out there.
This is not a question. This is more of a statement. Can you just go by Tito? Thank you.
Let's go to Gershon Yabusele.
Gershon Yabusele met Jack Michael in the supermarket last night,
and so
I wanted to ask what his thoughts of Jack Michael were.
Yeah, I mean that's the biggest thing. How do you feel about your ass being the most popular thing about your game?
That is like a legitimate question. Like that's probably not the most fun thing for Gershon.
Right. Like everybody looks at you and they're like, oh, by the way, you've got a giant ass, which people love. People love it, but you know. You want to get
I think
past
he would
that.
Rather they know him for his game rather right. than his thickness.
Right. Or the arrow dab.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How many times has he done that in the club this summer?
Oh, that would be awesome. If there's anybody with any video of a Gershon Yabu arrow dab from a club somewhere.
Wearing a bucket hat. Maybe I'll ask a good question about bucket hats. What's his favorite bucket hat? How many bucket hats does he own?
I would say that he probably owns dozens of bucket hats. I feel like he's always wearing one.
Yeah, it's always a new one. Yeah. He's a bucket hat connoisseur.
Yeah, it works for him. It works. You got a question for Mook?
Yeah, why am I blocked on Twitter, Mook? Can you unblock me?
What? You are blocked by like the most random... Like, Millie's blocked you. What the fuck did you do?
Me and Millie's are cool now.
Yeah. I would bring that up, be like, yeah, you know, this dude blocked me, but you realize that, like, what would you possibly have done to get blocked by Marcus Morris?
Maybe calling him ISO Mook for a while and talking about how he doesn't pass, but that was early in the season last year, but I've been blocked for a while, so who knows?
Yeah, I any possible question I had for him has now flown out of my head. Now this is the most important matter in my life. Semi Ojeleye. I don't know. I mean, I've asked Semi Ojeleye about, like, the weird Celtics Twitter. Like, I guess my biggest question for Semi Ojeleye is, why don't you wear a shirt on your Instagram?
Because he's got the best body I've ever seen. It's pretty obvious.
First of all, if I looked like Semi Ojeleye, I would never wear a shirt to anything. I would petition the NBA to go shirtless and do, like, a body paint. Like, number three. Just put my number on my body. Paint it on there.
I would ask Shemi what his favorite Bible passage is. He's always posting them on Instagram. He's very religious. He's a man of the cloth. Oh, I don't actually think he is, but that's a fun turn of phrase. So I'd ask him what his favorite one was, and if he shares his favorite Bible passages with other teammates, if they're all receptive. Because, you know, there's a whole story about Jonathan Isaac. He gave a sermon, and none of his teammates showed up. I feel like if Shemi gave a sermon, the whole team would be there. He's the guy who brought them together after Gordon Hayward's injury last year.
Yeah. You know.
Sure. How does he feel being the spiritual leader of the Celtics? There's a question.
The vicar. Team vicar. All right. Who else do we have? Daniel Tice.
Why are you awesome? I don't know. That's a tough one.
I think we're running out of questions.
Yeah, we're running out of questions and people. Oh, I have a good one for Aaron Baines.
Aaron Baines, the last one.
There was recently a conspiracy theory that Australia didn't exist. Your thoughts?
Australia didn't exist?
It was a real wild one. It was out there. But there's a theory that it's all made up.
Did Carson come up with this?
No, we just retweeted it.
I'm not getting political. I'm not getting political on this podcast.
Making fun of Ben Carson being an idiot, I don't think is political. I think it's bipartisanly established.
Yeah,
but.
Come on. Okay. So anyway, I'm intrigued by this. Again, you've now eliminated whatever question I might ask because your question is so intriguing. I've never heard of this conspiracy.
Now, the real question is, how many of these dumbass questions am I going to end up asking tomorrow to make myself look like an idiot in front of the entire Celtics organization?
I'll put the over-under at 1.5.
Yeah, I feel like I have to ask the Taco J question, but after that, who knows?
I think that's the only one you're going to ask. The question, really, honestly, you're going to ask the Taco J question. The question is, do you grow the balls to ask another player one of these questions? And so that, therefore, it's at 1.5. You might.
Oh, I think it depends on how the Taco J question goes. Because if he just like kind of gives me a nothing answer, although which I would kind of expect from Jason Tatum, it might put a damper on my enthusiasm. Who knows?
Look, I'm here to pump you up. Go. You got to.
All right.
This is your brand.
All right.
This is your brand. You got to stay on brand.
But if it goes well, then I might want to George Costanza and just be like, well, I did it. I had a good media day. I had my one question in. My problem, my best moment in the past is when I asked Jay Crowder about Bay Crowder. And that was in like, what, 2 media days ago. So who knows? It's going to be a wait and see. Will I seize the moment or will I fail miserably?
Okay. So the over under on jam question is 1.5. I will not be at media day. Not this year. I'll be there next year. But not this year. So it's up to you. It's up to you. The over-under is 1.5 wild questions from the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Who knows? Jay King might come in, flying in with a ridiculous question, but I doubt it.
I doubt it. Bruh. What? Why you get so much cheese in your taco, bruh?
Oh, my God. That'd be amazing.
All right. We'll leave it there and say thank you for listening to us make fun of Jay King for half the podcast. I hope that's good enough for you to subscribe. I hope it's good enough for you to give us 5 stars and give us a good review. Those are very helpful because that spreads the word and helps us rise in the rankings. You know, we're trying to make some money off of this and we're not charging you for the podcast. So a good review and a 5-star rating really helps us out. So do that and share the podcast. When people ask you what they should be listening to, tell them to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.